Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and what do? We fly. I'm just bargaining with someone like you, but take the moment and stay. I was thinking about the weak Americans, and someone woke up to see a moon in my window. Perhaps we're going to be all right, going two by two, so I say thank you very much. Joining us today, the perfectly lovely couple who constantly ask, Kimberly, what do they ask?
I don't know.
Do I hear a waltz? Including...
Oh. That's the only song I know.
Kevin, here we are again, Jaeger.
Yeah, I'll take that one. That's a good one.
Kimberly, our no-understand game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Appropriate right now.
Not understand.
And with us is someone you may have seen on tour in Wicked or West Side Story, you can now see in Hamilton on Broadway. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Lauren Boyd. Yeah. Oh,
thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Of course. Now, we're so happy to have you here today. We're going to talk about some awesome things. But before we get started with anything, what are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Oh, my goodness. Water. I've got many water bottles that are half filled all around my room. So
yeah, like signs.
Exactly.
You're prepared for an alien attack.
Totally.
Weekend, so I mean,
yeah, fair, totally.
It's just the theme decoration of your Halloween.
Exactly.
Yeah. The theme of my house is signs, but Halloween is every day for me. Oh. I literally here's one right here.
Did you dress?
Yeah, I have a bunch too.
Do you dress up?
Yeah. Every day I dress up as somebody who is a normal human being.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Dennis Quaid, yeah, totally. Every day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
right. That isn't
science. Pretty frightening.
Kevin, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a 7-Up that I pulled a Brian, and I poured a little tequila in it.
Yeah. See? One person at a time. That's how you change things.
It's an interesting taste because it's like a 7-Up zero sugar mixed with tequila. So it's...
Oh.
It's not the best, but I'm drinking.
So it's healthy.
Wait, is that like 7-Up trying to get into the seltzer game?
I think so.
Interesting.
Or just trying to get into like
the
diet.
A new way of saying diet.
But I heard today that diet has a different kind of sugar that is like actually really toxic for you. Is that right? Am I correct in saying that?
I'm going to take this fact because I don't know.
Most fake sugars aren't great.
Yeah, because it's like Diet Coke is what, like aspartame?
Yeah, aspartame.
Very bad for you.
That's really bad for you. Let's see.
Delicious. Is it in there? Also,
deliciously aspartame-y.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I did pour out a can into a glass. And so I have a whiskey ginger ale. That just looks like water on the screen, but I promise it's very flavorful.
Do you have clear whiskey?
No, but it's that J.J. Crowley. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
And it's very light.
Cool.
Like it's almost like a scotch that it's really light. Nice. And the ginger ale I have is very light.
Cool.
It is also zero sugar, but I didn't look at it. It's called Zevia, so I assume that there's like stevia in it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Love it.
It's a very spicy ginger ale. Brian, what do you have?
Oh, I'm drinking my Oktoberfest Sam Adams. We have some left in the fridge. So, you know, now that it's November, I got to keep October alive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But actually, Oktoberfest is in September. Just kidding.
Yeah, ridiculous. But Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you here. And let's just start off with, what's your favorite musical?
Oh, Wicked, by far.
Oh, I don't know if anyone has ever answered that quickly. They like get up all in like a huff and like don't know what to do. You just knew.
Oh my goodness. I want to say Wicked was probably the musical that changed my life. That I was like, I want to be in musical theater. So it's, I mean, my dog's name is Nessa Rose. Her puppies are Elphaba and Fiero. Like, I feel like if I didn't say Wicked, it would be shameful. But I love that musical. It's, yeah, I remember sitting at the Pantages Theater in the very, literally the very last row and just like aching inside. I don't know if you've had that feeling where just like, I need to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, by far my favorite.
Awesome.
How many times have you seen it?
Wait, what was that? Wait.
Oh, how many times have you seen it?
Well, I was in it for 4 years. But besides that, I probably have seen it 10 times, like outside of the show.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, how many times did you see it before you were in it?
Before
I was maybe in, a better I think, question.
I think that it was just the once.
Mm.
Just the once, yeah.
So when you...
I'm still a fan.
Oh, yeah.
When you booked that, like, that must have been like a wild, surreal, full circle moment for you, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the full circle moment was when I was performing at the Pantages. Like, in theater, I fell in love with the show.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was one of those things, too, where I was very young and naive and like didn't know what the protocols were for auditions. So I would just like go up to them afterwards and be like, hey, I know I got cut, but like, what can I work on for next time? And like, apparently that you're not supposed to do that. But I was just like, I need to know so that I can fix it and be in the show.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, you're a little young right now. So just keep coming back. I was like, okay, I can work on that. So.
I can work on that by age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it's not the other way around.
Yeah.
So. Great. I'll get Botox and I'll be back. Yeah. Get the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine?
No.
I'm sure people do that though. They're like, oh, cool.
I'll get
Botox. Yeah. Oh, you want me to look like you're great? I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Los Angeles, I'm assuming, or in and around there?
Yeah. Born and raised in Los Angeles and didn't move into the city until 2016.
Sure. So growing up, obviously, you know, Wicked was like that big fire in your belly for this. Like what else kind of, you know, made you feel like you had to do this in terms of like movie musicals or like maybe the first thing that you saw?
Yeah. You know, this is so bad. I didn't know any musicals up until I saw Wicked.
Sure.
Cause I wanted to be a ballet dancer. Like that was it. Just pure like classical ballet at New York City Ballet or ABT. I was a big, Center Stage fan. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh.
We have seen that film. We have done an episode on that film.
Oh,
that
is a, God. I have to watch that.
That is it's a film.
So good. Oh, man. I quote that movie all the time. I love, like.
So good.
So good.
I am the best dancer. Who are you?
Ballet. Nothing. Who the hell are you?
I love it. Yeah.
Okay. Wouldn't it be better if we all did a triple?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Wait, so which dancer would you associate yourself with the most out of Center Stage?
Oh, man.
Oh, a BuzzFeed quiz.
This is the hard question.
Yeah, I love Maureen. I think she's, you know, really fantastic. Probably Jodi. Just because Jodi decided not to go with the conventional like classical ballet, she was like into jazz, and she like my favorite scene is the salsa scene. You know, come.
Oh yeah.
Come, you know, it's so good. So I think that would probably be, you know. Yeah, but my crushes were Sasha Radetzky, of course.
Oh, obviously, everyone's crush in like 2001.
The Dreamboat.
All right. What is your okay? Here we go. What is your Mount Rushmore of dance movies?
Ooh. Okay.
So that's four. Are there four or five people on Mount Rushmore?
There's four, right?
Four, yeah.
Okay. So center stage for sure. We're right. Just dance movies?
Yes, mm-hmm. Just dance movies.
Okay. Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
And, ooh, this is tough. This is tough. I don't know if this counts, but I had a VHS of Michael Jackson's, like, Best Of. And I
That's great. This is your Mount Rushmore. You put whatever you want up there.
Yeah. Okay. So that.
Great.
I learned all of the dances when I was little. Just like rewind.
Yeah, he was an exceptional dancer.
So good.
Oh. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So did you train? Like, how old were you when you started training as a ballerina, or like at least took classes? And then it's Wicked the thing that just like. You know, change your road. Did you ease on down another road?
Yes, I did. yeah, I want to say, like, I was a pretty shy kid, so like me having friends was like non-existent. So dancing was like the best way to like express myself and just, you know, be free. And I found ballet to be like a really good structure for me and really beautiful. So I kind of went that route. And then, yeah, Wicked, I think, was the turning point where I was like, oh, I can dance and do other cool stuff and tell stories that like really matter. Cause like no disrespect to ballet. Like it's like Romeo and Juliet, the Nutcracker. Uh-huh. Like, it's all the same stories, but I wanted to tell stories that like really mattered.
What was your first Broadway show? Like, you came here, did you audition in New York for the tour? Did you like, what was the process there from you to go from LA to kind of start your life in New York or at least like begin to audition and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think what was easier for me kind of making that transition was when I was in the ballet world, I was coming to SAB for the summers and to ABC. So like that made it easier for me to like, oh, I know what New York is about. I understand that city. After being on tour with Wicked for, you know, a little while, I knew that it was time to come to New York. And once I moved here, after about 6 months is when I booked the show. It was just kind of like a really fast process. They were, you know, Carly Bedial, the original Woman One, was leaving. Mm-hmm. And kind of the timing just really worked out in my favor.
That's incredible. Yeah. Was that process... that happened so quickly after you moved. Like, what was that process like for you? Was that just like really overwhelming, or was like, or did you feel like this is what I'm here for? I'm going to nail this.
Yeah. Like I moved with the intention of booking a Broadway show, whatever it was. So every single day I was doing something to get me towards that goal. So one day, like even if it was something small or simple, like one day I would look up agencies. Another day I would look up someone to do my headshots. The other day I would book the headshots. The next day I would go to the headshots, like just something every day, to get me there. And I was slowly eating away at, you know, the elephant or chipping away at this thing that may have seemed really big at first, but I knew I could do it. I was very naive. Let's just say that. that was like how I saw it. And that was the process I went through. And, you know, knowing what I know now, I'm like, man, I was so fearless back then to just do that, but it worked. So
works truly.
Yeah, yes. Wait, Brian, what was your first Broadway show?
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was great. I was like this little kid being like, is somebody flying over me? That was my first Broadway show. That was like, I it's one of those things where like, I don't remember if I remember it or if I remember, I created a memory based on the stories that were told to me, but I definitely remember the gold doors and I definitely remember like, Peter Pan flying. I definitely
remember Peter Pan.
I have the playbill. I looked it up once. I think it was at like, I'll look it up again. I did look it up once. It was like the 91 or 92 production or something like that. It was something wild like that. I grew up right outside of the city. So.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old were you?
6 or 7.
Wow. That's so cool.
I think it was during the, I remember being cold. I may be making this all up, but I remember being cold maybe, or it was winter. Maybe it was like during the holidays. I don't remember, but I do remember the gold doors.
Okay.
That's amazing. I remember the outfit I wore to my first Broadway show. Because it was my favorite outfit in second grade. And I wore it all the time. It was these like black palazzo pants with like daisies on them. And like a very 90s like mock turtleneck, like ribbed cropped turtleneck situation.
Yes.
And I went on the bus with my grandma and her whole condo. To see the Lion King. With like,
also, were they all the same age as her?
Oh yeah, it was like me, my bubby, and like all of these other like women from the over 55 complex going to Sardi's and the Lion King together.
Let's go! I love it.
Love that.
How about you, Kevin?
I grew up in like when I was little in Ohio and then in Florida, so like I didn't see a Broadway show. My first actual on Broadway show was The Producers. When we came for my senior year of high school.
Not shabby.
Yeah, it was great. And everyone in my grade knew me. It was like my senior class trip. We came to New York. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew like me as like the musical theater kid. So like half the time during the Broadway show, everyone was watching me watch the show. Gotcha. And then at intermission, they're like, this is good, right? Is this good? Like, I think this is good. Is this good, Kevin? And I had to tell everyone like, yes, this is good. You can think it's good. Like, I had to give my little like nerdy musical theater kid stamp of approval.
That's so funny.
But it was like the teachers all watched me watching the show. It was so funny.
Did any of the drama kids go with you, or was there drama?
So there were like 18 drama kids in my entire school. Mm-hmm. It was very small, and like the drama program was not big. Like our biggest musical had like I think 11 kids in it, 10 or 11.
Wow.
So like, and it was like we didn't have a budget. Our parents were paying for sets and costumes. Like the school didn't give us any money because it was all football.
Yeah, so, same at my school.
Yeah, so there was a very small group of us, but in that senior trip there was one other person who was like a theater kid. Mm-hmm. But even then she was like more of a techie. So she like she didn't really like, she was a crew person, so she didn't really like the attention. So she was like, Kevin, what do you think? So yeah, that was fun.
I was actually just thinking about my drama club in high school yesterday because I'm a huge fan of the Addams Family Values. Like that's probably like my favorite, other than dance movies, like my favorite movie.
My husband is watching that as we speak.
Is he really?
Yes.
I wanted Malibu Barbie.
I love it. Don't I deserve love and joy?
That movie that's a perfect film. The whole Wednesday Addams Thanksgiving summer camp plot is truly, yes, truly genius stuff.
Everything from the... every line is just so perfectly written for each character, and they all have their own little quirks that just make it so, so good.
Yeah, oh, that's a perfect movie.
But what I was saying, Kevin, was in drama in high school, the drama club, they had us do monologues, and I chose that Debbie monologue to do. So here's me, like 16 years old, doing the Debbie monologue, and everyone's like, what is this girl doing? I did the whole thing. I reenacted it. I pretended there were slides. I, you know, bounced over my chair to pretend like I drove over my husband. It was hilarious.
So incredible. I'm so here for that.
Do you know where else we act things out and do monologues?
Oh, no.
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's corner.
I love it.
Welcome to Kevin's corner, where I get to make the rules and ask you a couple questions that are about anything I want to ask. So today I was feeling very inspired by lyrics. And I thought, since you have been in Hamilton and in Wicked, which are both fantastic lyric shows. We are going to play a game called Kevin's Hallmark Cards. Okay. And I'm going to give you a type of Hallmark card, and you're going to pick a like lyric from either Wicked or Hamilton that you think would be perfect to go inside that kind of a Hallmark
card. Okay, I love it.
Okay, so the first one is a happy birthday card.
Happy birthday.
You got to pick something from Wicked or Hamilton that would be like the perfect inside of a Hallmark card for a happy birthday.
Okay. Oh, goodness. You know there's like 52 songs in Hamilton, and I'm trying to skim through all of them. Like, oh, man. Look around at how lucky you are to be alive right now.
That's actually really perfect. That would be a really cute card. Great. So that's birthday. So the next one is a wedding card.
Congratulations.
Well done. I was thinking you were going to go with like the toast to the groom and the bride. Like, I'm loving that even better. All right. What about I'm sorry card?
Maybe the lyrics from the end of Act Two in Wicked. I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason. And then...
You're really good at this. That's good. The next one is a Valentine's Day card.
Oh. As long as you're mine.
Boom. That's really good. And then the last one is, I'm trying to think about how difficult I should go because I have two.
Okay. These are actually really hard. Like there's so many songs and lyrics to choose from.
Let's do Happy Halloween card.
Okay. My heart, it's shrinking. And it's a Tin Man on the front.
Absolutely. And then the last one will be like a happy opening night card that you give to like friends at a show.
Okay. Do not throw away your shot.
Well done. Mm-hmm. And this is for making Hallmark cards with Kevin's Corner.
Thank you. That was fun.
That was really good.
Thanks. You did really well.
Thanks. I was like, oh man, there's so many to choose from, but yeah, I loved it.
Well done. If you could play any role in a current running Broadway musical besides Hamilton and Wicked, what would it be?
Probably Velma or Roxy in Chicago. I love that show. I know that it's very simple, but I love the simplicity of it. I think that the Fosse movement is just so in my body that I would just have so much fun.
So here's a question. I mean, I know you studied ballet growing up, and obviously like you have your body has a plethora of knowledge to like do all the other, like a ton of other, dances styles. And styles. Oh my God. I couldn't think of the word. Thank you, Kevin. Styles. Like how does someone who, how does somebody who their body was kind of molded through ballet? How did you train your body to relearn certain positions that may have felt awkward, like a Fosse, like something else, when your body was molded in traditional ballet?
Even like Hamilton's current choreography, like that is a lot of that is very different than the ballet poser.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that from ballet to Hamilton was probably the biggest transition because Wicked, it's very, you sit in one side of your hip and it's very like quirky type of movement. And Wayne Cilento does a really beautiful job of making it look Aussie-in, but still like really beautiful. And we have, I'm sure you've heard the champagne glass. Like we
yeah.
we hold the champagne glass and it's like very proper and upright. And I think the ballet actually helped me because Corinne McFadden, who originated the role that I did, she is so gorgeous and so tall and lanky and beautiful and has this really gorgeous technique that is what you need for the show. Like, there's just no way around it. For Hamilton, it's a little bit different. It is kind of that Fosse style. Andy is inspired by that, and he was, of course, in Fosse.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the more hip-hoppy types of movement, I just had to get back in class. Just had to go to Millennium or BDC and just hit it hard because I naturally want to be really graceful and like kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just want to like take my time. But
yeah.
And did you feel like Jody Sawyer at BDC?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that the hip hop choreography you mastered?
Yes. That was actually part of the audition. So we lay on the floor and do
just dance the shit out of it.
And then just like a random switch leap across the floor.
Yes. Which like all Broadway people who did that scene. Mm-hmm. So fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. Where's Center Stage the Musical?
Yeah, where is it?
Ooh.
Yeah. I would see Center Stage-ical.
Only to see the point shoe change in real time.
That just seems perfect for this. Like, now I'm like upset that we haven't seen it yet.
And then 30 Fuertes at the end every night.
Yeah, every night.
Yeah.
Quite an interesting casting session for that role.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, can you imagine? You're like, so you're going to be our leading girl, so we need you to be able to belt like this and sing this, but also you have to do 32 Fuertes at the end of this.
Yeah.
And quick change your shoes right before.
Yeah.
Yes.
On point, doing 32 Fuertes after doing a 2.5-hour Broadway show.
The very end.
Yeah.
The end. It has to like open the show and then everything's a flashback.
I like that.
It's like, can you imagine doing Eliza and you do the entire show, you do the breath, but the breath at the end leads you into Fuertes and you're just there.
But just knowing like people who make Broadway shows, you'd have to do it at the same time, like sing while turning.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
True. And
you end the Fuerte to do your bow. So the leads,
it's not even like
whoever bows last has two Fuertes longer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh no.
It should be Jody Sawyer.
Don't worry. We'll give Andy a call and see if he can add it into Hamilton as soon as possible. So like,
yeah.
Good idea, Kevin. You'll be ready.
Just Fuertes.
You could just be like the dream ballet, like Eliza steps back and then she comes out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I need. It's what the show needs, really.
Love it needs the dream ballet during Burn. It just like redoes their whole relationship. Stage is a little empty. It's a little empty.
While that poor girl is like snotting her face up crying because of that song. And like,
but there's just somebody else in like a short version of the Eliza dress to
the slow transition.
Yes.
They walk and they walk front to back.
That would be wild.
Oh.
I would mess with this idea.
And we have to hold the bin that's burning the letters while you're doing it.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wait, no, people are the flames.
Oh, even better.
And the letters.
Yeah, totally. And then they turn into flames.
Just like,
oh, that'd be a cool trick. I like that.
I'm obsessed with it.
Wait, question. Raise your hand if you've ever burned a love letter after your, like, a big breakup.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Just me? Oh,
it feels like I'm dramatic enough to have done that, but I don't have a specific memory. But I grew up with like heartache and a fireplace, so positive.
I don't know if a song has that lyric, but I grew up with heartache and a fireplace is like a truly spectacular, like something corporate lyric.
My memoir. Yeah. It is like a pop punk song. Oh yeah, I was probably listening to something corporate while I burned a lot.
Yeah,
leather.
Probably.
That is amazing. Wait,
what's your, you burned a letter?
Oh yeah. Totally. And I,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I played the song Burn while I was doing it. It was very dramatic.
Yeah. I was going to ask, was there music involved? Because whenever I did play that dramatic, it always had the song on.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I burned my, I'm a little older than you. So when I burned my love letter, when I was young and dramatic, I listened to the song I'll Be Okay. That was on the, my best friend's wedding soundtrack.
Oh my God, Kevin.
Well, the music is what gives you the courage to do it. Like it's like,
oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
I was going to say, I always feel like I'm in a music video too. Like
totally.
I feel better if I'm like,
oh yeah.
My life is being portrayed from like, I pretend the camera's over there and like, I'm going to watch this one day.
And yeah. And then it rains and you look out the window.
Yes. or you're in a cab and the windows are down and just the hair.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I'm leaving the city. You know,
like going over the bridge, like,
yeah, good. I'm glad it's not just me.
The amount of times like a song is just like, and I'm in the video and we do this.
Yes,
I think it's like you find my old camcorder from middle school. There is a music video of me and my friends like running around her house,
Kimberly, where you had to put the little tape into the big tape to play it.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. Or my, what do I have? The flip camera. Do you remember those?
Oh, sure.
What is, I don't know.
Like the side, like do you have a camcorder?
No.
Or?
Yeah. Oh. I have it literally back here because I can't bear it apart with it, but it doesn't turn on anymore.
Flip. What is it?
Do you guys remember these? First of all, mine's like very nerdy. Look at it.
Oh.
You remember these? And you like, it was like this. It was just a video camera.
It was like a phone before a phone. Phone camera. Before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This was like my sophomore year of college. So like 2005. No. Oh God, I'm not that old. 2010.
Thank you, Kimberly, for this bit of visual content on our podcast.
Oh yeah. So it looks like a phone. It is basically the moral of the story. But my sister bought it for me for Christmas, or I'm sure my parents bought it for me for Christmas. But she made this like playbill because you could get custom things printed on the front. Oh. So she made this like playbill situation for me.
That's super cute. Wait, Brian, I interrupted you earlier. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to make a joke where I was like, I've never gotten a breakup letter, so I've never been broken up with.
Wow. Are you the one who breaks up?
No, that's not true at all. I've been broken up with many times.
Brian, wait a minute. I've been friends with you for so long.
No,
just because you're engaged now.
I burn them. I don't burn them. I keep them because I'm a masochist.
Oh, I do still have one. Yeah.
I still have a couple, I think. I haven't read them, but like they exist.
Oh, okay. Where do you put
them? Yeah.
I have
mine in a book.
Yeah, mine's like a notebook. Like
a secret book.
Yeah.
Oh no,
yeah,
mine's same. Like in like a textbook from college. Oh. One day my husband will find it and be like, excuse me.
I was
skimming through your biology 105.
And yeah. I was interested in learning more about mitosis. Yeah. Do you have like a shoebox that you keep special things in, or where do you keep like your prized possessions? Not that those are prized possessions, but you know what I mean.
I think I've kept almost every card I've ever received, even like the fans that when they give me stuff.
Cool.
And I like just going through them and seeing how nice people are, because there's not nice people, but it's very kind for them to want to like write me a letter and be so thoughtful, and like I love things like that. That's so special to me.
Go ahead.
Go for it. No, Kevin, you go first.
I was going to say, have you had any, like, we sometimes we'll talk about stage door stories.
Kevin, that's what I was going to say.
Same page. Look at
stage
that.
Stage door stories. Great.
So the stage door is sadly not a thing right now because of COVID times and the regulations, everything. But you've had lots of experience pre-COVID with stage door. Do you have any fun, silly, impactful, emotional, exciting, any kind of story from the stage door that you want to share?
Oh my goodness, so many. I will tell you this one like kind of scary story, but then I'm going to tell you like a better story after to make up for it. So when I was single, I was on this dating app that I saw someone who liked musical theater, and I was like, oh, that's something that's we have in common. And so I said, hi, I see you like musical theater. And I don't put anything on there that says like what I do, nothing. It's just very vague. Only thing that's on there is your first name, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I get message after message after message after message after message from this reply, like, oh my gosh, I love musical theater. What do you like? This is what I like. And then like, he's like, this is what I've seen. And all of these messages, right? And I was like, oh, I think I'm good. And I just didn't reply, right?
Sure.
So fast forward about 3 months. It's now December. And I'm walking out of the stage door and I see him. So he found me on social media, saw what I did, showed up at the stage door and had his arms crossed like this and was just waiting at the stage door. And I was like, I looked at him like, he looks familiar.
Sure.
And it clicked. I was like, and it totally froze. And I just was like, what do I do? And so I just kind of kept walking. I should have turned around and like gone back inside, but I was like, I don't know what to do right now. It was kind of creepy.
Very creepy.
Very scary. But thankfully I didn't see him after that. And like, I let security know and they were like, they're very good about keeping us safe. But other than that, like I've had these fans, man, I love them so much. They touch me as much as I feel like we touch them, and like in an impactful way. Like I've had some young girls come up to me and say like, this show saved my life. Like I was really depressed, and they're just like, we're just so happy that you guys perform and do what you do, and it just makes me so happy. People spend their hard-earned money coming from all around the world to see us, and it's humbling. So I make it a point, well, pre-COVID, I made it a point to see them every night, no matter if I was feeling up or down. Like because I was that kid on the other side of the gate, like getting autographs. So it's my favorite part of the day by far. And I miss it. I miss it so much.
Sure.
So, but yeah.
Awesome. So before we play our last game, I know that there's some extracurricular things that you like to do, including Broadway Babes, the outreach program. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and kind of what you do, what it is, and how people can take action to help out?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Broadway Babes is an outreach program that blesses senior citizens one Broadway show at a time. And the idea behind it is the seniors, in our communities are often forgotten and neglected, and they need love and compassion. So I spend my time during the week volunteering, teaching them modified dance classes. So they're sitting in their wheelchairs or they're holding their canes or whatever they feel most comfortable with. And we're doing tap dances. And a lot of these seniors are actually ex-musical theater performers and Broadway stars and or musicians who are finding that way to stay motivated and stay have something to look forward to. Because,
sure,
you know, I have a end of the year spring recital for them.
Yes.
I love it. So they get to, you know, wear their hats and their, you know, feather boas, and they just get to have fun. And it's so important, especially after COVID. They've been completely neglected, and COVID has really, a lot of them don't know how to use social media, and so they were often forgotten. So this is an opportunity for them to just have that sense of accomplishment again. So if anybody who's watching this has some tap shoes that they're not using or any form of dance shoes, preferably ones that are flat and not the big heel, like, please send them to the Actors Fund. I'm hoping to get that started back up again so that the seniors can feel, you know, like they can start their dance classes again. So
awesome. And you had mentioned that the seniors, a part of Actor Funds, like, were hit hardest by the pandemic. So this, to kind of get them up and, you know, moving and whatnot is really fantastic. So we're super
even just
excited.
Socializing again.
Yeah.
Socializing
like again. You said, they're not on social media. They've been so isolated.
Yeah. And then the loss of body movement function over time. And that was for everybody, but for them, especially, it's harder to gain that momentum back up and that strength that they need for their physical and mental well-being. So
that's incredible. So they can just send the shoes, any donations, they send it to the Actors Fund directly.
Yes, at the Dorothy Ross Friedman on 57th.
Amazing.
Awesome. You know what they say, Kimberly? Show us your shoes.
That is a Miss America reference. Thank you, Brian Plofsky.
You're welcome.
I love all the movie references we've done. Yeah. By far my favorite.
Well, Miss Americas did their own Show Us Your Shoes parade this year.
Wait, that's right.
No longer in Atlantic City. Which is very sad. Anyway, I love the Show Us Your Shoes.
Should we play a game, Kimberly?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Even though Halloween is over, I remembered a Halloween game we used to play called the Time Warp. And so yes. Let's play it again. I have a huge stack. Oh, as something falls out of it. Of Lights of Broadway show cards. And how this game works, when it is your turn, I will pull a card for you. Take that actor, throw them back in time to a show they could not have been in, then, and have them star in that show. But once you have replaced the star of that show, you need to bring them to the present to star in something else. And then, if you so choose, you can bring the star of that show that they've created into the future to a show that no longer or not yet exists.
Okay.
Brian, would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll give it a whirl.
Give it a whirl.
Wait, have you guys played this before?
Yeah.
They have long ago. But now I'm trying to like rig the cards to see if there's like good ones. Okay, Brian, say when.
When?
Oh, everything just fell down. But David Diggs.
Okay.
Good one.
I would take David Diggs back to play Albert in Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, good call.
I think you would be an awesome kind of nervous wreck. I think his put on a happy face would be spectacular. I think that like his interactions with like a Conrad Birdie and the Rosie character, I just think he would be really, really, really great in that. So that means I have to take Dick Van Dyke. And I have to put a young Dick Van Dyke in something in the present. And I think that I would take Dick Van Dyke and I would put him in I'm trying to Yeah, that's a good one. I'm giving this credit to Kimberly. I put him in Doubtfire. I think that he would be a spectacular version of
accent work, clearly.
That character, the accent work. Good day.
Blimey.
Yeah, hello. Mary Poppins. Yeah, he's used to working with the help. So I think he would play a great version of that. Mary Poppins, Mrs. Doubtfire. He's got to get it all under his belt, under the umbrella, if you will. And so that means I have to take Rob McClure and putting in something in the future. And I want Rob McClure to star in a musical version of, I'm looking around my room for different nerdy things. I want Rob McClure to play Pee Wee Herman in Pee Wee's Big Adventure musical.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
And there's a big number called I Don't Make Monkeys, I Just Train Them. And then the, you know, Large Marge has a big like spooky number. Totally. That's what I want. I want him to play Pee Wee Herman in a Pee Wee's Big Adventure musical.
What's Pee Wee's girlfriend's name is what?
Dottie.
Wouldn't that Erica Henningsen be such a good Dottie?
Oh, yeah. I'm a rebel Dottie, a loner. also, that's one of my favorite movies, if you couldn't tell. Do you have something to share with the rest of the group, Amazing Larry? So good. I love that movie. All right.
There's no basement in the Alamo.
Alamo, silly. Yeah, you could say maze in 150 different ways, and I'm going to tell each of them to you now. All right. Great.
All right, Kevin Stern, ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Say when.
When?
Matthew Broderick.
Oof. Okay. I'm taking Matthew Broderick back in time, like current age Matthew Broderick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to take Matthew Broderick back in time, and I am going to have Matthew Broderick play Okay. I'm going to take, I was like, I had an idea, but then I was like, I don't know who played that in the original Broadway company, so I can't go there.
We can help you.
Okay. I'm going to put Matthew Broderick in Sunday in the Park with George.
Mm-hmm.
Original production with Bernadette, just because I think he could play like a really weird kind of, like more what Jake Gyllenhaal did with it than like, what Mandy Patinkin did with it.
Mm-hmm.
I also just want to bring Mandy Patinkin forward. But I think that he could do a really good George. I would be there. I would see it. So then I'm bringing Mandy Patinkin his prime up into today's world. And I think that Mandy Patinkin, oh God, young Mandy Patinkin, I would put him in everything.
Yeah, I know, right?
But I'm trying to think what would be the best like vocal thing for Mandy Patinkin right now. I would put Mandy Patinkin as one of the couples in Company. So I would trade out. Who's Greg Hildreth's like partner in Company right now? Like, who's the female counterpart?
I didn't see it. I don't know.
Nikki Renee Daniels.
I think so.
I think so too.
I would put him there, and then I would take Greg Hildreth forward into the future, and I would create Old School the musical, and I would make Greg Hildreth play the Will Ferrell part, Frank the Tank.
Great.
Wonderful. Who writes it?
That show is going to be written by, it's going to be Sondheim's last musical.
Perfect. I think that's what he's working on now. So
yeah, that's, isn't that the new one? Yeah, yeah.
Old school musical.
Oh, God. Okay, Lauren, would you like a turn?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, say when.
When.
These are both not actors. I'm going to pull it until it's an actor. Tim Curry.
Tim Curry?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love him. Okay. I would take Tim Curry and put him in, okay, so a show that was in the past, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh goodness. See, here's the thing about being a ballet dancer. Like, I didn't really know too many musical theaters. How about, oh goodness, I need help here. Can I phone a friend?
Yeah.
Can I phone Kevin?
I would say that Tim Curry would be an incredible MC in cabaret.
Oh, yes.
So that would be phenomenal. Yeah, that would be incredible. And then that gives you Joel Grey to play with.
Okay, I love it. Okay, so that was a really good one because Tim Curry, the only thing I could think of him that really stood out was Rocky Horror, of course. But
sure. Totally.
Was that...
Is that cheating if you put him in his own show in the past and then bring him to the future?
I mean, is it?
No, no rules, baby.
It's just meta.
Okay. Then I'll do that.
Okay, right, so you're putting him in Rocky Horror and then you're bringing young Tim Curry to the future or to the present.
Yes. And then I would love to see him play Voldemort. Is Voldemort in Harry Potter? I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Spoiler alerts.
Spoilers. Yes.
Okay. And then who's the gentleman who plays... Yeah.
I think you can put Voldemort in the future.
Voldemort.
Yeah.
The character. As a,
the entity. The
character. Okay. Voldemort would star in the musical Biology 105. He would be the character that Kimberly broke up with, and he's the one who wrote the letters, and he turns into Voldemort after.
Yeah, little did we know Kimberly was dating Tom Riddle for a while.
Oh my god.
Yeah. He was a little spooky.
You caused the entirety of the Harry Potter saga. Yeah,
I am the final Horcrux.
I was going to say, you're the Helen of Troy for Harry Potter. You launched 1,000 ships.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh,
my God, wonderful.
Good.
Okay, do I get a turn?
For me. I wasn't very good at that one. Sorry.
That was great. Are you kidding me? That was the best one.
That's a weird made-up game. No, there's no one good at it.
Yeah, this is awesome.
All right, here, I'll prove it. Say when. I'll take a turn.
When?
Are we all sitting at the same time?
That was really good.
What's so good is we all sit at the same time, but because of the lag, Kimberly did not stop when we all
said. Yes. Oh, no. That's why I've been laughing, because she's kept going every time. Cracking me up.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm going to pull the lane stretch.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So... Interesting to throw her back in the past.
Right.
That is where she's from, but I will take like Live at Liberty Elaine Stritch.
Okay.
And bring her. Where does she go?
The oldest meme in history.
I'm trying to think of like, just like the original Aunt Eller in Oklahoma, like something ridiculous.
I would watch that.
Except I don't know who that woman was to bring her.
Ah, right.
To the present. So who will I say? Can I just start with young Elaine Stritch present day and then I'll do a reverse? It's my game. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm just going to start with young Elaine Stritch. Comes to present day and does
Hermes in Hadestown.
Ooh. Ooh.
Takes over for Andre de Shields.
Yeah.
A like middle-aged Elaine.
Yeah.
So then Andre de Shields goes back in time and he is the original MC in Cabaret.
Okay.
Okay.
A young Joel Grey to the future, because now I'm completely out of order.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
A young Joel Grey in the future.
Time is a flat circle, so this is fine.
Yeah, we're good.
Time continuum.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's fine.
And now I'm taking my turn, like looking around my room for what's happening in life.
So Joel Grey hops in his DeLorean and he goes to the future, and Joel Grey is in what musical?
Just because of what I'm looking at, he's in like Mario Party, the musical.
Sounds great.
I like that.
But he is Yoshi, who is the main character.
Hmm.
And it's Yoshi has thrown a Mario Party. And just no one's showing up. And he has to, it's like waiting for a Godot, but just Yoshi alone on the screen.
Never gets
that is deeply sad.
Yeah, well, at the end, everyone shows up. And they like race. And then it's revealed that you're in an exact replica of the Starlight Express Theater that's in Germany. And they roller skate around him because they've been racing to get there.
Cute.
Amazing.
That and Mario Kart the musical.
And it's called Moo Moo Meadows.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
Oh, that has been the time warp. Speaking of Tim Curry.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Awesome.
Everything.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
That was so quick.
Thank you so much. I know these have been just like speeding through, but this has been like super fun.
This one.
What show would you want to be in the future that doesn't exist? One more question.
Ooh.
aside from Center Stage the musical.
Yeah.
Center Stageical.
Because that's happening.
Is there like Halloween the musical?
Sounds great.
Mood. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Play Laurie Strode.
Kind of spooky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a similar version of like Roxy in Chicago. Like she's, we don't know if she did it or not. That kind of.
All right.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Or like a.
Love it.
Murder mystery type of,
Knives Outsicle.
Knives Out. Ooh, I like that movie. That's a good one too.
I know. I'm excited for the sequel.
There need to be bring back murder mysteries to Broadway, people.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Mousetrap, the musical.
Yeah, Mousetrapsicle.
Don't tell everyone. It should be our little secret, and we should write them.
Oh yeah.
Forget
Never
that.
Mind. No one cut. Wants them. No cut one. It. No Ugh. One.
Who wants to see that? That sounds terrible.
It's not fun at all.
No.
7 years from now.
Yeah. Well, on that note, thank you so much for joining us. We really enjoyed chatting and hanging out with you. As a reminder, Broadway babes, donate your shoes, your tap shoes, your flats, your dance sneakers, whatever you have. Send them over to Actors Fund so that there can be a little bit more happiness in the world.
Yeah.
And thank you. Where can we follow you on social media? All that fun stuff.
Yeah, Lauren M. Boyd on Instagram. I'm on TikTok.
Yes. Kimberly and my fiance made me join TikTok and now I'm obsessed.
Yes, he's obsessed.
Oh. It's fun. I was hesitant at first, but it's really fun now.
I got
a good time. Safe space.
Yeah, it's a safe space. And then you're like, wait, how is it 5 hours later already? I just sat down to look at TikTok.
That's the not safe part.
I'm the only one who hasn't joined yet. Like, I haven't joined TikTok yet. And I think it's only because I find myself watching like Instagram stories for a long time that are TikToks. So I'm if I actually go to TikTok.
I'll
never stop. I'll just stare at these screens.
My TikTok is E-Way Dancer Boyd. I had something silly at first, but that's easiest for them, I think. Because someone already had the Lauren M. Boyd.
Oh, how dare they?
Did you write to her and be like, this is my equity name, so get off my TikTok?
I still pay my dues, do you?
Exactly.
Yeah. I pay for this name? Who are you?
All right. Followed.
I know, me too. Okay. Okay. Done.
I'll refollow right now. You guys are amazing. Thank you for having me. This was literally the highlight of my day.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you. Pleasure. This is so fun.
It's fun to laugh with you guys. I mean,
let's do this again. Love to laugh.
Yes. Anytime. Yeah. Seriously. Anytime. you can follow us at Broadwasted on all social media platforms, not TikTok though, but all other social media platforms.
One day.
Instagram, Twitter, join our Facebook group. Kevin runs that. We do some theater nerdy stuff. You can also find us on Patreon. That's where you can see this. Yes, where you can see this video and Kimberly's camera. Patreon is there for you all. You can of course find Broadwasted wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. 5 stars, please.
And thank you.
And of course, do I hear a waltz? Very odd, but I hear a waltz. There isn't a band, and I don't understand it at all. I don't know why I chose Do I Hear a Waltz to be the theme of this, but I'm glad
also, I sang that in my senior recital, and I'm very mad that I was like, what are you talking about?
I feel like, yeah, totally.
I think I zoned out for the first two, and then I was like, wait, these are familiar. What are they?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. Come back whenever you want. Hang out. We're here, and it's fun.
We're always on Zoom.
Cheers.
We end every episode. Cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.